The Gaithers are
Tass.
Mr. President, I make a motion that Sussex County Council come out of executive session back into regular session at 19:45 hours.
I have motions, Mr. Ryder, second, Mr. Phillips, to come back in from executive session back into regular session. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. We're here for three public hearings. I will ask our attorney, Mr. Griffin, to tell you how those hearings will be conducted. We do a little different than what planning and zoning do, if you were there for that one. And then we will start with the first public hearing. Mr. Griffin?
When council holds public hearings on zoning matters, they're considered to be legislative hearings.
I see.
Council uses the information obtained during the hearing to determine whether or not to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. After each application is announced, Mr. Lank, the Director of Planning and Zoning, will tell council what happened at the time of the commission meeting. After that happens, the applicant will be allowed to come forward and present their case. After the applicant has presented their case, if there's anyone here who is in opposition or has a concern about an application, they will be allowed to speak also. If you have something to say on an application, you need to come down to the podium at the appropriate time, state your name for the record before you make your statement, so that we, if we later had to make a transcript, we would be able to tell who's saying what. We don't allow cross-examination. We don't allow the applicant to cross-examine somebody who's in opposition and vice versa. So after the applicant's presented their case, any opposition has stated their case, then council decides whether to take action. If Planning and Zoning Commission deferred and did not take action, then council will have to do likewise, to wait and receive the recommendation from Planning and Zoning before we take action. If Planning and Zoning has already taken action, then council can also take action if it chooses to do so. It could also decide to defer it to a later date. Does anyone have any questions regarding the procedure?
No.
If you have a cell phone, if you don't mind, please turn it off or turn it to silent service. Mr. Lank?
Yes, thank you. First application this evening is conditional use number 1695. It's the application of Donald and Kimberly Jefferson to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for an agriculture machinery and truck repairs to be located on certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Hill 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 4.79 acres, more or less, lying at the northeast end of a private road 950 feet northeast of Reynolds Road, being Road 233, approximately 3,000 feet southeast of Road 235A. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on August 9th of 2007. Commission heard comments are from DelDoc County Engineering Department. The applicant, Donald Jefferson, was present and gave testimony. Gail Dickerson was present in support of the application. There were no parties present in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1695 for Donald and Kimberly Jefferson for agricultural machinery and truck repairs based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the use will benefit agricultural operations within this area of Sussex County. Two, there is a need for this use in this area of Sussex County. Three, the use will not adversely impact any neighboring or adjacent properties. It will also not generate a significant increase in traffic. Four, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, work shall only be performed on farm equipment, tractor trailers, and similar equipment, with only an occasional auto or pickup repair. B, there shall be one 60 by 80 building on this site for this use. C, there shall be no outside work on the equipment being serviced or repaired. D, the hours of operation shall be limited to 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. from Monday through Saturday, with emergency hours as needed. E, there shall not be any junked, salvaged, or inoperable parts, equipment, or tractor trailers on the site. or junk and scrap material shall be removed regularly. F, there shall not be any signage on the site. G, there shall be no more than two employees associated with the business. H, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second and carried with four votes to forward this application to the county council with a recommendation that this application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. Motion carried 4-0. Mr. Gordy was absent during that decision. For the benefit of the council, I pass down copies of the survey and site plan for this application. Gentlemen, that's all I have. I've received no additional comments from any individual or agency to date.
Any questions of Mr. Lang or members of council? Is there one of the applicants present?
Yes, my name is Donald Jefferson. I'm not one of the applicants.
Could you pull that mic up a little bit?
A little louder. I'll be bashful.
The whole thing should tilt up. There you go.
I'll get out of there.
My name is Donald Jefferson. I am the applicant of this case.
Address?
My address is 12717 Reynolds Road, Linton, Delaware.
Mm-hmm. Could you just briefly tell council what you would like to do?
Basically, there to Mr. Lank's statement, I do agricultural truck repairs, farm machinery repairs. Basically, I want to build a building on my property so I can continue to do so. And I'm willing to go with these conditions to do that on that facility.
And you're located about almost 1,000 feet back from
yes,
the road?
Yes, the property location is about 1,000 feet off the road.
What do you work on the equipment now, Mr. Jefferson?
I am currently leasing a property on Route 5 at M&H Welding.
So you'll be living on this residence?
Yes, I'll be living at that residence.
I didn't really recognize him. He's so clean. He's usually laying underneath the tractor in a field someplace. You're most of the time mobile, which your company does, right?
I do a lot of mobile repairs, yes.
He goes out in the fields, Mr. Dixon, chicken houses, and that's all he's ever done. And most of the time he's covered up. He's not really the homeowner of the shop.
Mm-hmm. And I believe it says that you have family that live all around there?
Yes. Actually, the ground is, it's been in the family for years, before me. My mother owns property in front of me, beside me.
Mr. Cole, questions? Mr. Phillips? Mr. Rogers?
No, sir.
Mr. Jones? No, sir. Mr. Griffin?
Is there anything else you would like to add, sir?
The only thing that I did think of that, signage on site, I would, if possible. If not, that's fine too. Be able to put a small sign at the end of the driveway just for location purposes. For those who don't know where I'm at, it'd be an easy way for them to pick up so they don't have to stop to a neighbor's house and bother them. Or
what's the standard, Lawrence, 32?
Well, typically, in the condition of use process, the commission recommends and the council limits the size of the sign to not exceed 4x8 or 32 square foot on two sides.
That would be fine.
Any objection from the council?
Yeah, just change F and let's just change F.
How would you word that, Mr. Lang?
Unlit 32 square foot sign.
Lighted or unlighted for unlighted.
Unlighted.
Okay.
There ain't no electric out there.
There may be one unlighted 32 square foot sign.
That would be F?
To identify the site.
Right. Just amend F.
That would be F. Be amended, okay. You can live with all the other conditions?
Yes.
You read them, you know what they are? Okay. Okay, Mr. Griffin?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here who would like to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to this application? Let the record show that no one else has to be identified. Would you like me to read the title?
Yes, could you read the title, please?
We will close the public hearing on this application. The title is An Ordinance to Grant a Conditional Use of Land in an AR1 Agricultural Residential District for Agricultural Machinery and Truck Repairs to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill, 100 Sussex County, containing 4.79 acres, more or less.
Yep, over there.
Make a motion to approve CU-1695 with the nine conditions, which number nine or F was added. They kind of messed up when they shifted the numbers to letters.
Yeah, I know.
Second.
Mr. President.
I have a motion by Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Rogers, to approve CU-1695 with the conditions and F being amended to allow for a four-bay sign unlighted, unlit sign.
I'm sorry.
Number eight, or whatever the numbers are.
Eight stipulations.
Eight?
Eight stipulations. Questions? Everybody happy? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried. Without objection from the council, I'm wondering, you're done, thank you. I'm wondering if the council would object, I believe that CU-1720 will go about as quick as this one did, and by looking at the minutes from planning zoning, it looks like that the next one on the agenda is going to take a little bit longer, but holding him up, would a council object to that?
No.
Okay, Mr. Griffin, if you would go to CU-1720, Wayne and Janet Sanson.
Okay, Mr. Lank, would you tell us about that one?
Yes, sir, thank you. This is conditional use number 1720, the application of Wayne and Janet Sanson to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 Agricultural Residential District for archery repair and sales to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek, 100 Sussex County, on a parcel of containing 1.0018 acres, more or less, lying southwest of Route 13A, 925 feet northwest of Route 468. This application was also reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission on August 9 of 2007. We heard comments from Deldot. There was a letter of support from Linda Hastings, a neighbor to the property. Wayne and Janet Sanson were present, gave testimony. The applicants were advised that if they create an archery range, it would require an approval from the County Board of Adjustment. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1720 for Wayne and Janet Sanson for archery repair and sales based upon a record and for the following reasons. One, there is a need for this type of use in Sussex County. The use will benefit residents of Sussex County that hunt or are archery enthusiasts. Two, this use will not have an adverse impact on neighboring or adjacent properties. It will not generate a significant increase in traffic. Three, this approval is subject to the following conditions. The use shall be limited to repair and sales of archery equipment and related items. B, there shall not be an archery range on the site without the approval of the Sussex County Board of Adjustment. C, the hours of operation shall be limited to 7:00 a.m. through 7:00 p.m., Monday through Saturday. D, there shall be no more than one unlighted sign on the site. E, there shall not be a dumpster on the site. F, there shall not be any employees other than the applicants. G, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second, and carried with four votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 4-0. Mr. Gordy was absent for the vote.
How many?
For the benefit of the council, I passed down copies of the survey showing the existing improvements on the site with a sketch showing the garage that's also on site. I did receive one additional comment on this application. It is from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, making reference to their application, and their use makes reference to the location, tax map, conditional use number, et cetera. The site is not located in a county-operated and maintained sanitary sewer and/or water district. It is, however, located in the western Sussex planning area number four. It's noted that the project proposes using on-site septic system, and it noted also that a concept plan is not required. They took no position in reference to sanitary sewer other than that, and it was signed by John Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. And that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
Is the applicant present? You both wish to speak, or only one?
Both of us, please. Wayne Janet Sansone, 30352 Seaford Road, Lowell, Delaware.
Okay.
And I wanted to say thank you very much for moving us ahead. No offense or anything.
Said to it once, huh?
But thank you.
Would you like to tell us about your application, why you would like to have it approved?
Yes, we'd like to know if you take into consideration the application, because, again, we understand that there is a need in the area. My husband is, well, we're both actually hunters, and he wants to be able to work on those, his bone bow, and to be able to service people in the area, because there isn't a whole lot of that in the area. So we feel that there's a good need for it.
Pretty much.
Are you going to sell the product also?
Yes.
Well, there is some product that's involved in repairing the bows, and mm-hmm. people want to be able to come in and see the product on the shelf and be able to pick out the particular thing that they'd like to assemble onto their bow, but eventually we'd like to be able to carry a line of product. But certainly that's, you know, hopefully.
This is just in the back of your existing property?
Yes, in the garage.
It's probably about 300 foot off the road, mm-hmm. 350 feet.
Condition.
Have you reviewed the conditions that were read earlier?
Yes.
And can you live with those?
If you don't mind, there are a couple of things that we'd like to address. We thought about it after we got home, after the meeting, that there is a possibility that someone may come up to the property after the hour of 7 o'clock and say, hey, my bow just fell apart on me while I was out hunting. Can you work on it? Or there is a possibility that on a Sunday when, you know, somebody isn't out hunting, that they may want to bring their bow up. We wanted to ask if we could possibly do emergency work after 7 o'clock or on Sundays if the need occur.
Would we, if the council added if except for emergencies, would that cover
it? Right. Right. Basically, if somebody wanted to say Saturday evening or Saturday night and then came up Sunday because it said they robbed their bow or anything like that.
Okay. How many customers do you anticipate? I mean, it's hard to say, but I mean, 2 a day, 10 a day? You don't know? Because, I mean, you're not in the business that makes a whole lot of noise.
No.
It's hard to police that sort of thing of hours with something like this quiet.
I was about to say that.
Right. Well, I mean, we certainly don't expect, you know, 10 hunters to come out of the woods and say that they dropped their bow and it broke or anything like that. But, I mean, there's a possibility that somebody may come up and say, look, it's Friday night.
No, this isn't, in my opinion, it would be much different than, say, an automotive.
Yeah, come out of my car,
right? Exactly. Right. I mean, and the shop is fully enclosed. I mean, it's in the back of our property. It's there.
The ballpark, it's behind our property.
Yeah, I mean, there's the ballpark's behind us, and there's one residence that's probably 300 foot.
The hours were based on the business hours, where basically would be customers coming to and fro. You could work 24 hours a day at your property. So, I mean, it's just saying you wouldn't have customers coming in other than those hours.
Right.
Except for emergencies, that would cover it.
Except for emergencies.
You're probably going to say, we're cutting it off at a certain hour yourself. You don't want people.
Oh, of course. I mean, my husband works at night, so he can't be out there all day long. I mean, he doesn't do a day job, so he's got to cut it off sometime.
We either scratch C completely.
Exactly.
We either scratch C or I'll say except for emergency.
You stated except for emergency, I think.
Except for emergency service.
One other thing, if you don't mind. I mean, we also said not a lighted sign. And my husband and I were just sitting here and said, is there a possibility of putting a solar light on the sign? Just nothing terribly lit up. But
is there any other lit up signs near you that anybody's running a
church?
Just the church.
Everything else is residential, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. It is.
Depending on the conditional use, it permits you to do something in a residential zone, and I think there's a little pressure on us to try to maintain that residential zone, because that's the primary reason that areas like that. But anyway,
sure.
So I'd be a little reluctant to say. I think that once people start riding by, they'll see it during the day, they'll know it's there, but I don't.
But reflective material on it, so car lights didn't reflect, too.
Yeah, I don't know about. Typically, we don't, but the rest of the majority can do what they want.
Okay.
But I'd be concerned about it.
Okay.
It doesn't bother me. I know there's two churches along in there. There's a rock in the...
I mean, they're not even something, not a spotlight, so to speak, more or less, just a little bit of a glow. I think the idea is, I mean, you're worried about...
I don't have a problem with that.
I mean, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, no, it's not an imperative that would be lit up. It was just a thought that if we could change something, we would ask.
If it gets too bright, we'll take a bone arrow and shoot it out.
You can put a bottle or something.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Will you be able to operate and function until such time as you go to the board for ask for a variance for a range?
They don't have to. They don't ask for that unless they decide to apply for it later.
Okay, like, we don't need a range.
I have plans for that, but in the future.
Yeah, we don't want that not to be a possibility.
Okay.
Perfect.
Will you take out the word unlighted?
Yes.
Are we scratching C, or are we just putting emergency on it?
Okay, thank you.
But slightly lighted.
Is there anything else you want to add?
No, thank you for asking.
If anyone else has any questions.
No, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Why don't you just have a seat right in front of you?
Thank you.
For anyone here who wishes to be heard in either in favor of or in opposition to this application, let the record show that no one else has to be recognized. We'll close the public hearing. The title on this ordinance is An Ordinance to Grant a Conditional Use of Land in an AR1 Agricultural Residential District for Archery Repair and Sales to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in Being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 1.0018 acres more or less.
To move.
I have a motion, Mr. Jones, seconded by Mr. Phillips to approve. CU 1720, with the conditions and the hours have been amended to say accept emergency service, and the sign, taking the word unlighted sign out of that. Any questions on the motion? Everybody comfortable? Now, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Mr. Lang.
Yes. The next application is conditional use number 1697. It's the application of Dansk LLC to consider the conditional use of land in a C1 general commercial district for a water park and miniature golf course to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1.352 acres more or less, lying north of Route 54, west of Virginia Avenue, and approximately 350 feet west of Route 1. This application was also reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission on August 9th of 2007. The commission received from the applicant an exhibit booklet, which I will provide copies in a sec.
We'll be able to look down.
We also heard comments from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We received numerous letters of opposition, which I have on the file. They were from Martha Steele, Brian Wisniewski, David Hall, Betsy Mitchell, Scott Cromwart, Melanie McKnight, VM Hall, and the VM Hall also provided a packet of 24 photographs with explanation of each photograph. Roy Anderson was present on behalf of the application with Dennis Schrader, attorney, and Ken Christianberry of Axiom Engineering, all giving testimony. Patricia Regan, Joseph Reed, Betsy Mitchell, VM Hall, Freddie Mitchell, and Virginia Cunningham were present and spoke in opposition and gave testimony. Betsy Mitchell also provided us with 12 photographs showing the parking lot, etc. They have been provided to Mr. Weidman for presentation later. Mr. Christianberry, Mr. Anderson responded to questions raised by the commission in reference to parking, etc. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. There was a motion and a second carried with 4 votes to defer action for further consideration. That motion carried 4-0. Mr. Gordy was absent for the vote. For the benefit of council, I pass down copies of the booklet that was presented to the commission. We pass it down. I also provide another booklet that was received today from the applicant in reference to a parking study. I did receive it when I came back from dinner this evening in my fax machine. Yep. Three letters in support of the application, and one from the Ricker Outlet Limited, one from Charlie's Bayside Restaurant, and one from Dunkin' Donut, all in support of the application. Also received a fax with information based on DelDOT's approval. Originally, DelDOT required that there be a 10-foot wide strip reserved for future DelDOT road improvements on the entire frontage. And we have a revised statement from DelDOT saying they're only requesting that on the second lot from Virginia Avenue, not the lot on the corner. And I will also pass down copies of revised survey.
Is this revised since the...
It's revised just, basically it's revised just to show a stop sign location based on notes, but it's current. Also received a letter Village of Filling LLC making reference to the application that the business neighbors for 20 years and have not had a problem of any kind. In our opinion, they have always run a professional business and worked hard to help maintain a family atmosphere in Fenwick Island. Having reviewed proposed improvements, the Village of Fenwick is in favor of this application. A desire to update their commercial property. We believe these improvements will make a safer environment for our community and vacationing families to enjoy Fenwick. And the Village of Fenwick looks forward to Dansk LLC beginning their proposed plans. Mm-hmm. And also, since the commission's hearing, we have received letters and additional letters in opposition. Some of these were received by council office and not my office, but I do have them in my possession now. One being in opposed would be Delsey Trailer Court Incorporated. We received a letter from Hudson Jones, Jaywork and Fisher LLC for through David Weidman in opposition. We received a letter in opposition from Robert Farrell and Ruth Farrell. Another letter dated August 9. From Betsy Mitchell with a petition containing appears to be 10 businesses with signatures in opposition. A letter from on August 13th from Virginia L. Thomas, or Tom, but I can't quite make out the signature. On August 29th from Odetta Bennett. A second letter from the town of Fenwick Island, and this was dated August 28th, and it states, on behalf of the town of Fenwick Island Council, I would like to express the town's concern that the water park miniature golf expansion project of Dansk LLC makes reference to the location. The reduction of available parking space at the complex is a significant area of concern, along with the possible impact of added traffic congestion on 1 and 54 intersection. Thanking you in advance for the town of Fenwick Island for considering the town of Fenwick Island's residents' opinions on projects that impact the quality of life in our community. On August 30th, we received a letter from Virginia Cunningham, went to council in opposition. Again, from Patricia Reagan on August 30th to council in opposition. There was a photograph showing a color photograph, which is similar to the one you're going to see later. August 14th, a letter from David Hall in opposition. and, well, same letter, okay. And then August 16th out of 07, a five-page letter from VM Hall with attached photographs. And a copy of the letter that was submitted to the commission. And I'll pass these down for your review. And I believe that's all I have, gentlemen. And the letters that were submitted as part of the record of the commission are also on file. And
Mr. Lank?
Yes, sir.
Why, unless DelDOT just want that 10-foot and that, not, and they don't want all the way across there, they just want that one section there, is that?
I have no idea, Mr. Dukes. Why, originally they said they wanted it all, and now they're only saying they only want half, basically.
I mean, it's...
Because their brain did.
I can't imagine what they could do with it.
Maybe it's something that will be brought up by the applicants, because there was some contact between the developer representatives and DelDOT. So the question could be raised to them. And what I got was just a fax copy where it was a reference sent or correspondence between John Fiore of DelDOT, Mr. Anderson, or Ken Christenberg.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Yeah, the existing park from the what years in the 70s, is that what they think?
According to what was stated in the record, it appears that the park was started in the 70s and purchased by the Andersons in the 80s and the Ritter Park.
Is that a current conditional use? What is that?
No, it was a permitted use at that time. That's before we came up with a new regulation.
It was permitted in the C1 district. Right. And this has always been zoned C1.
And it was zoned MR, and sometime in the 70s it was changed to C1.
Right. Okay.
The whole Femicon unincorporated area.
Oh, that's right. All the way at that whole chunk.
Originally, it was all zoned MR, and then I don't know what brought it on, but the county on its own zoned everything commercial because of all the stores and shops and restaurants and et cetera. That basically
is a mix
took
of
out most of that area.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Okay, Mr. Griffin.
Mr. Schrader, would you like to proceed?
Thank you, sir. For the benefit of the record, my name is Dennis Schrader. I'm an attorney in Georgetown, and I represent the interests of Dansk LLC, which is the applicant in conditional use number 1697. As was asked by Mr. Cole, and I will reiterate for the benefit of the record, in fact, this particular site has been a water park for more than 30 years and has been in the ownership of the Anderson family in one form or another for over 20 years. This particular application, as was pointed out by Mr. Lank, is located in Baltimore 100 at Fenwick Island, but not within the town limits. At the intersection of 54 and the west side of Virginia Avenue. The site itself consists of 1.32 acres, more or less, and is currently zoned a C1 General Commercial District. Gentlemen, as you may recall, the C1 General Commercial District is now a closed district, but for a great many years is where all of the 57 or so commercial activities that are itemized within B1 and C1 have been rezoned. In 1991 and 1992, my recollection escapes me as to when exactly it was. Bungee jumping was an issue in Sussex County, and the C1 ordinance was amended by this council in order to require a conditional use for certain outdoor amusement type activities. The amusement type activities that were being addressed by that particular ordinance were bungee jumping as they existed primarily in the Rehoboth Beach area, but in rounding up bungee jumping, all outdoor amusements became subject to the conditional use requirement, and that would include the ones that we know, such as Jungle Gyms in Rehoboth, or the one at Midway by the movie theaters, on the Derrickson property, and that law change is what brings us here today in this particular application. My clients are seeking to do two things. They're seeking to renovate the water park so as to bring it into the 21st century and make it more suitable for its current uses. And the second thing is to add a miniature golf course for those portions of the property that are not being used for the water park. We have submitted to the council two books, one of which is an exhibit packet, which has within it a number of photographs that will show you a number of letters in support of the application. The second material that we have submitted to you is a reference to a parking report. What I would like to point out to you is that during the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing that was held in August in this chamber, there were a number of points that were made by opponents of this particular application, some of which were perplexing and created some odd situations. As an example, there was a petition contained in our book, and it appears in the record, a petition that was prepared by Ms. Mitchell of the Fenwick Center, in which Catherine Fernwalt of the Fenwick Crab House joins in her opposition to the application. At the same time that that was taking place, Ms. Fernwalt's husband, who's also a co-owner of the Fenwick Crab House, wrote a letter to the Planning and Zoning Commission saying the Anderson's current parking is more than adequate for their current needs, and there has been no parking conflicts as of late. We have two different points of view from the town of Fenwick Island now, one in opposition and one in support of this particular application. I think the opposition for a large part has been misinformed about the scope of the particular project that we are proposing. Secondly, I think there also has been some misinformation and misunderstanding about the adequacy of the parking that exists at this particular site for the particular uses that my clients propose versus the general congestion you have in any resort during the summertime, and whether or not my client is a contributor or the sole source of that is something that we will discuss with you as we go through the evening. The opponents, as you are aware, have retained Mr. Rodman to appear on behalf of them this evening. Among the materials that are being submitted tonight are recommendations that as many as 262 parking places may be required for the proposed water park and the miniature golf course. We did some calculations this afternoon, and the simple solution is that if we did 262 parking places using 10 by 20 parking spots for a 1.32-acre site, we would have to buy one additional acre of land, take down everything that was there, and use the entire 2.5-acre site solely for the purpose of parking. So it seems fairly obvious to me that
be the subject of another application.
Which would be the subject of another application. Which seems to me to be a rather ludicrous result when you apply some of the parking formulas. Now, we want to point out to you tonight, and what I think that we will show you when we're done with our presentation to you tonight, that there are a couple of things you need to keep in mind. One of them is that we're looking at sequential use of these parking lots. We're not talking about the highest use of the water park at the same time as the miniature golf. We will show you by an analysis that was performed by Mr. Christenberry that the peak use of the water park compared with the peak use of the miniature golf do not coincide time-wise, and therefore we fall within the ambit of Section 115.165 of the Zoning Code when we get into the shared parking requirements of your particular ordinance. Once we show you what the facts have demonstrated, what the issue is about the congestion and parking, and how the sequential use of the property and the shared parking ordinance that we have applied to this parking, then I think you will agree with us that the 39 parking places that we have proposed are certainly adequate for the two proposed uses we're looking for. Again, we are asking for a renovation of the water park in a commercial zone and for the addition of a miniature golf course. With those thoughts in mind, gentlemen, I'd like to call Mr. Christenberry to the podium.
Hey, would you be kind enough to identify yourself, please?
Jim Christenberry, Axiom Engineering, Georgetown, Delaware.
How are you doing, Mr. Christenberry?
President and founder of Axiom Engineering.
And are you we're having a little difficulty hearing you, Ken. Could you get that mic a little closer?
I'll certainly try, Mr. Griffin.
These things need to go just about that.
Ken Christenberry, Axiom Engineering.
Hey, hey, put the lawyer in the dark.
Yeah.
If you're
going to
do anything.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. Hard time arguing with that one. Ken Christenberry, Axiom Engineering. I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of Delaware, qualified by educational background at the University of Delaware, and over 10 years of experience locally here on the Delmarva Peninsula.
And Mr. Christenberry, you participated in the design of this particular project?
I have.
And how have you participated in that design?
I've been the project engineer throughout the history of the project.
And have you also participated in the preparation of a parking study report concerning the area in question?
Yes, I have.
To begin with, Mr. Christenberry, would you be kind enough to describe the site itself and the surrounding areas?
Glad to. Direct your attention to the screen.
By the way, gentlemen, all the material that is on the screen this evening, and maybe some more, will appear in the books that have been submitted to you. But for ease of the people that are in the audience and for each of you, you will have two opportunities to look at this material as Mr. Chris and Mary testified.
If you're following in the book, it's the August 2nd book that was presented to Sussex County Planning and Zoning, where these first exhibits are pulled from, the August 2nd, 2007. The area in question is heavily developed. It's the Fenwick Island area. I'm sure everyone in this room has got to be familiar with it. The state line is right down here. The project is located in this area here. This photograph was taken in the year 2002, before the applicants owned this vacant piece of land in 2002. The applicants also own and operate the Viking Golf here, the mini golf course. They own and operate a go-kart track here and the Fenwick Boardwalk. The Atlantic Ocean, of course, is just a stone's throw from
that
this
piece of
location.
Property is C1 also?
Both the applicants' properties are zoned C1. They've owned this piece since the early 80s and operated the water park, which was there when they acquired the property. And they've owned this piece since the latter part of 2003.
Gentlemen, I want to point out to you, and I'll have Mr. Christenberry do it with the pointer as we look at this particular exhibit. This property is adjacent to the town of Fenwick Island. As such, when we begin to make references, Ken, if you'll show where the Fenwick Center is on this particular exhibit.
Center is right here.
Okay, and they're occupied.
Could we keep this light right over the screen? It'd probably be a lot easier for everyone to see the exhibits. If that white light up straight ahead can be dimmed. Any luck with that?
You can turn them all off. Turn it, but
yeah, there's
enough. Might make it easier for people to see what we're referring to.
Old switcher.
The fluorescent lights are the ones that are.
That's not it.
Would your pointer, Ken? Would you show where the Fenwick Island town line is? Is it references?
Actually, well, that would be easier to show actually on my tax map because it actually shows up on the tax map, which I can pull up momentarily here. Tax map. It's right here. If you take a moment.
Mr. Christenberry's wife.
Oh, honey, I won't be home in time for dinner tonight. This is the project area in an aerial photograph, and this is a tax map. The applicant's property is right here. The Fenwick Center is located here. The applicant's other lands are located here. And this green line right here is the town line. So the Fenwick Center actually is within the zoning jurisdiction of the town of Fenwick Island. The applicant's other land is predominantly in the county, and the subject of the application, of course, is completely within the county.
If you would please, do you have a graphic that will show us what the present use of the property is?
Mm-hmm. I do. The present use of the property, this is a 2006 aerial photograph. Again, you can see the water park area, which is essentially unchanged from 2002. However, in the time that they acquired this additional vacant piece, there was some existing gravel. They did add some more, and there was parking that has occurred in this area. It is not the subject of a site plan approval. It was done unbeknownst to my clients that they actually needed a conditional use to use this area for parking. As we have mentioned, it is zoned C1, but there was no site plan approved for the property.
And for purposes of orientation, could you identify the Fenwick Center parking lot?
Absolutely. The Fenwick Center parking lot is located right here, just across the street from the actual slides.
And Virginia Avenue?
Virginia Avenue is this road right here.
And Route 54 right here. And the intersection of 54 and Route 1 would be right off the...
Would be across the top of the page and is visible from the 2002 aerial photograph. And there is a 90-degree twist on these two images to kind of show the area.
Okay, if you would be more specific, Mr. Christenberry, would you describe what water park uses are actually on this site as it exists today?
What you see here is a topographic survey provided by Lawrence Long, a professional land surveyor in the state of Delaware. This area here is the existing paved parking lot. This area here represents the area that currently has gravel. There is a very large wading kiddie pool here that has a zero-inch depth at one end and slowly gets deeper to about, I think, 18 inches. Kiddie pool here about 18 inches deep with two very small slides. And these towers are what feed the two large slides that slide around. Those are the ones that are very visible from the aerial photographs. Slide around and land in this landing pool right here. At the very back of the property is a gravel drive back to a dumpster pad.
And again, for purposes of orientation, Route 54 is where on this particular graph?
Route 54 is at the bottom of the page, right down here. Virginia Avenue is right here. Fenwick Center parking lot is here. The applicant's other lands are right here.
The proposed use of the property consists of what?
The proposed use of the property consists of some improvements to the existing water park. The majority of the park, majority of the water park won't change. This large wading pool won't change. The kiddie pool here will not change. The existing building will have the bathrooms renovated, and another bathroom will be added for the golf course, either within the Ticket Hut building, or there'll be access provided to this building through some kind of change in the fencing that's there today.